to us tomorrow, now that we know we're not insane? It was the ultimate question, one that had haunted me since last week, since I remembered. What was next? Was I supposed to do something with it? Try to ignore it? Try to stop it? Did I even have a choice? It was too much to deal with. My heart beat wildly in my chest. What are you thinking? Noah shifted on his side and tightened his grip on my back, pressing me into him, aligning us perfectly. What? I whispered as my thoughts dissolved. Noah shifted closer and tilted his head, as if he was going to whisper something to me. His nose skimmed my jaw instead, until his lips found the hollow beneath my ear. Your heart started racing, he said, tracing the line of my neck to my collarbone with his lips. I don't remember, I said, consumed now with the feel of Noah's hand through the thin fabric of my pants. He slid his hand up behind my knee, my thigh. He tilted his face up to look at me, a wicked smile on his lips. Mara, if you're tired, I can hear it. If you're hurt, I can feel it. And if you lie, I will know it. I closed my eyes, just now beginning to fully realize what Noah's ability meant. Every reaction I had. Every reaction I had to him, he would know. And not just mine, everyone's. I love not having to hide it from you, Noah said, hooking his finger under the collar of my shirt. He pulled the fabric to the side and kissed the bare skin of my shoulder. I pushed him back slightly so I could see his face. How do you deal with it? He looked confused. Hearing and feeling everyone's physical reactions around you constantly? Don't you go crazy? If he didn't, I certainly would, knowing that as long as I was near him, I had no secrets. Noah's eyebrows drew together. It just becomes background noise, mostly, until I focus on one person in particular. His finger grazed my knee, and he drew it up the side of my leg, over my hip, and my pulse raced in response. I smiled. Stop it, I said, and pushed his hand away. He grinned broadly. You were saying? I can hear everything. Everyone. But I can't feel them. Only the four I told you about, and only when they, you, were injured. You were the first one I met, actually, then Joseph. I saw you, where you were, and felt a reflection, I think, of what you both were feeling. But there are a lot of injured people out there, I stared at him. Why us? I don't know. What are we going to do? A smile turned up the corner of Noah's mouth as he traced mine with his thumb. I can think of a few things. I grinned. That won't help me, I said. And as I said it, a wave of deja vu rolled through me. I saw myself clenching a glass bottle in a dusty shop in Little Havana. I'm confused, I said to Mr. Lacumi. I need help. That won't help you, he said, looking at my fist. But he had helped me, remember then. Maybe he could help me now. I was on my feet in an instant. We have to go back to the Botanica, I said, darting to my dresser. Noah gave me a sideways glance. It's well after midnight. There won't be anyone there now. His eyes studied mine. And anyway, are you even sure you want to go back? That priest wasn't particularly pleasant the first time around. I remembered Mr. Lacumi's face, the way he seemed to know me, and grew frantic. Noah, I said, rounding on him, he knows. That man, the priest, he knows about me. He knows. That's why what he did worked. Noah raised an eyebrow. But you said it didn't work. I was wrong. My voice sounded strange, and the quiet room swallowed my words. We have to go back there. Goose flesh pebbled my arms. Noah came over to where I stood, pulled me close, and stroked my hair until my breathing slowed, watching my eyes as I calmed down. My arms hung limp at my sides. Isn't it possible that you would have remembered that night anyway? He asked quietly. I narrowed my eyes at him. If you have a better idea, let's hear it. Noah took my hand and laced his fingers in mine. All right, he said, as he led me back to bed. You win. But it felt somehow like I had already lost. Chapter 53. The next morning I woke up next to Noah. With my arm draped over his waist, I felt his ribs move under the thin fabric of his t-shirt as he breathed. It was the first time I'd ever seen him like this, the first time I could study him unhindered. The swell of his biceps under his sleeve, the few curls of his hair that peeked out from the ribbed collar of his abused shirt. The necklace he always wore had slipped out during the night. I looked closely at it for the first time. The pendant was just a slim line of silver. Half of it hammered into the shape of a feather, the other half a dagger. It was interesting and beautiful, just like him. My eyes continued to wander over the inhumanely perfect boy in my bed. One of his hands was clenched in a fist next to his face. A sliver of soft light illuminated the strands of his dark tousled hair, making them glow gold. I breathed him in, the scent of his skin mingling with my shampoo. I wanted to kiss him. I wanted to kiss the small constellation of freckles on his neck, hiding next to his hairline, to feel the sting of his rough jaw under my lips, the petal-soft skin of his eyelids under my fingertips. Then Noah let out a soft sigh. I was drunk with happiness, intoxicated by him. I felt a stab of pity for Anna and for all the girls who may or may not have come before and what they lost. And that birthed the follow-up thought of just how much it would hurt for me to lose him, too. His presence blunted the edges of my madness, and it was almost enough to make me forget what I'd done. Almost. I slid my hand down Noah's and squeezed it. "Good morning," I whispered. He stirred. "Mm-mm," he murmured, then half-smiled with his eyes closed. "It is." "We have to go," I said, wishing we didn't, "before my mother finds you in here." Noah rolled over and leaned on his forearms above me, not touching for 1 second. 2, 3. My heart raced. Noah smiled, then slipped out of bed and out of my room. We met up in the kitchen, once I was dressed and brushed and generally presentable. Sandwiched between Daniel and Joseph, Noah grinned at me over a cup of coffee. "Mara!" My mother's eyes went wide when she saw me standing and dressed in the kitchen. She quickly composed herself. "Can I get you anything?" Noah gave me a surreptitious nod of his head. Sure, I said. "How about..." My eyes scanned the kitchen counter. "A bagel." My mother grinned and took one from the plate, popping it into the toaster. I sat down at the table across from the three boys. Everyone seemed to be pretending I hadn't sequestered myself in my bedroom for the past few days, and that was fine with me. "So, school today?" my mother asked. Noah nodded. "I thought I'd drive Mara," he said to Daniel, "if that's all right." My eyebrows knit together, but Noah shot me a look. Under the table, his hand found mine. I stayed quiet. Daniel stood and smiled, walking over to the sink with his bowl. "Fine with me. This way I won't be late." I rolled my eyes. My mother slid a plate over to me, and I ate quietly next to her and Joseph and Noah, who were talking about going to the zoo this weekend. Their bright moods were palpable in the kitchen that morning, and I felt love and guilt swell in my chest. The love was obvious. The guilt was for what I'd put them through, what I might still put them through if I didn't figure out my problem. But I pushed that thought away, kissed my mother on the cheek, and made my way to the front door. "Ready?" Noah asked. I nodded, even though I wasn't. "Where are we really going?" I asked as Noah drove, knowing full well that it couldn't be school. It wasn't safe there for me, because I wasn't safe around anyone else. 1821 Calle Ocho, Noah said. "You wanted to go back to the Botanica, didn't you?" "Daniel's going to notice we're not in school." Noah shrugged. "I'll tell him you needed a day off. He won't say anything." I hope Noah was right. Little Havana had somehow become our familiar haunt, but nothing about it was familiar today. Crowds of people surged through the streets, waving flags in time to the drumbeat of the music blaring from an unidentified source. Calle Ocho was closed to traffic, so we had to walk. "What is this?" Noah's sunglasses were on, and he scanned the colorfully dressed multitudes. "A festival," he said. I glared at him. "Come on, we'll try to push through." We did try, but it was slow going. The sun beat down on us as we cut a precarious path through the people. Mothers holding the hands of children with painted faces. Men shouting over the music to one another. The sidewalks were crowded with tables, so customers could watch the festivities as they ate. A group of guys leaned against the wall of the cigar shop, smoking and laughing. And the domino park was filled with onlookers. I scanned the storefronts for the odd assortment of electronics and Santeria statues in the window, but didn't see it. "Stop," Noah called out over the music. He was 4 or 5 feet behind me. "What?" I walked back to where he stood, and on the way bumped into someone. Hard. Someone in a navy baseball cap. I froze. He turned around and looked up from under the brim. Perdón, he said before walking away. I took a deep breath. Just a man in a hat. I was too jumpy. I made my way over to where Noah stood. Noah took off his glasses as he faced the storefront. His face was expressionless, completely impassive. Look at the address. My eyes roamed over the stenciled numbers above the glass door of the toy store. 1823, I said, then took a few steps in the other direction to the next one. My voice caught in my throat as I read the address. 1819. Where was 1821? Noah's face was stone, but his eyes betrayed him. He was shaken. Maybe it's on the other side of the street, I said, not believing it myself. Noah said nothing. My eyes roamed the length of the building, inspecting it. I made my way back to the toy store and pressed my nose up to the cloudy glass, peering in. Large stuffed animals sat in a duck-duck-goose arrangement on the floor, and marionette puppets were frozen mid-dance in the window, congregating around a ventriloquist dummy. I stepped back. The shop had the same narrow shape as the Botanica, but then so did the stores on either side of it. Well, maybe we should ask someone, I said, growing desperate. My heart raced as my eyes scanned the shops, looking for anyone to ask. Noah stood facing the storefront. I don't think it would matter, he said, his voice hollow. I think we're on our own. Chapter 54. My sense of dread increased exponentially as we drove down the dark, palm tree-lined driveway to the zoo. This is a bad idea, I said to Noah. We had talked about it on the ride back from Little Havana after I called my mother and told her we were going to hang out at Noah's after school, which we didn't go to, for a change of scenery. Since there was no way to track down Mr. Lakumi, if that was even his real name, and no one else we could go to for help unless we both wanted to be committed, we had to figure out what to do next. I was, of course, the top priority. I had to figure out what prompted my reactions if I was going to have any hope at all of learning to control them. We agreed that this was the best way, the easiest way, to experiment, but I was still afraid. Just trust me, I'm right about this. Pride goes before the fall, I said, a small smile on my lips. Then, why can't we test you first again? I want to see if I can counteract you. I think that's important. Maybe it's why we've found each other, you know? Not really, I said to the window. My hair clung in sweaty tendrils to the back of my neck. I twisted into a knot to get it off my skin. Now you're just being contrary, says the person with the useful thing. It felt weird to name it, name what we could do. Inappropriate. It didn't do reality justice. I think there's more you can do, Mara. Maybe, I said, but doubting it. I wish I had your thing, though. I wish you did, too. Then after a pause, healings for girls. You're awful, I said and shook my head. An obnoxious grin curved Noah's mouth. It's not funny, I said but smiled anyway. I was still anxious, but it was incredible how much better I felt with Noah there, with him knowing. Like I could deal with this. Like we could deal with it together. Noah parked at the curb of the zoo. I didn't know how he managed to get us after-hours access and didn't ask. An outcropping of sculpted rocks greeted us as we walked in, towering over a manufactured pond. Sleeping pelicans dotted the water, their heads tucked under their wings. On the opposite side, flamingos, pale pink in the halogen auxiliary lights, stood in clumps on the opposite side of the walk. The birds were silent sentries, failing to notice or comment on our presence. We wound deeper into the park, hand in hand, as a hot breeze ruffled the foliage and our hair. Past the gazelles and antelopes, which stirred as we approached. Hooves stamped the ground, and a low nickering swept the herd. We increased our pace. Something rustled in the branches above us, but I couldn't see anything in the dark. I read the exhibit sign. White gibbons to the right, chimpanzees to the left. As soon as I finished reading, a shrill scream pierced the air and something crashed through the brush toward us. My feet and my heart froze. The chimpanzee stopped short right at the moat, and not one of the cute, tan-faced charmers usually conscripted into the entertainment industry. This one was enormous. It sat, tense and coiled, at the precipice. It stared at me with human eyes that followed us as we started walking again. The hair stood up on the back of my neck. Noah turned into a small niche and withdrew a set of keys from his pocket as we approached a small structure disguised by large plants and trees. The door read employees only.
What are we doing?
It's a workroom. They're preparing for an exhibit on insects of the world, or something, Noah said as he opened the door. I hated the idea of killing anything, but at least bugs reproduced like roaches, and no one would miss a few.
How did you work this out?
I asked, looking behind us. My skin prickled. I couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. My mother's done some volunteer work here, and gives them an obscene amount of money. Noah flipped on the lights, illuminating the long metal table in the center, and closed the door behind us. Metal shelves lined the walls, holding bins and plastic tubs. Noah walked around, his eyes scanning their small labels. I was rooted to the doorway, and couldn't read them from where I stood. Finally, Noah held up a translucent plastic box. My eyes narrowed at him.
What are those?
Leeches, he said casually. He avoided my stare. A wave of disgust rolled through me.
No, no way. You have to.
I shuddered. Pick something else, I said, and rushed to the far side of the room. Here, I pointed to an opaque tub with a label I couldn't pronounce.
Something, something scorpions.
Those are poisonous, Noah said, studying my face.
Even better.
They're also endangered.
Fine,
I said, my voice and legs beginning to tremble as I walked over to a transparent box and pointed.
The big-ass spider.
Noah walked over and read the label, still holding the box of leeches close.
Way too close.
I backed away.
Also poisonous,
Noah said evenly.
Then that will be plenty of incentive.
It could bite you before you kill it. My heart wanted to escape from my throat.
A perfect opportunity to practice your healing, I choked out.
Noah shook his head. I'm not going to experiment with your life, no.
Then pick something else, I said, growing breathless with terror. Not the leeches.
Noah rubbed his forehead. They're harmless, Mara.
I don't care.
I heard the insects in the room beat their chitinous wings against their plastic prisons. I began to lose it and felt myself sway on my feet.
If it doesn't work, I'll take it off immediately, Noah said. It won't hurt you.
No, I'm serious, Noah, I said. I can't do it. They burrow under skin and suck blood. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I wrapped my arms around my body to stop it from shaking.
It will be over quickly, I promise, he said. You won't feel anything.
He reached his hand into the tank.
No.
I could only croak this in a hoarse whisper. I couldn't breathe. Multicolored spots appeared behind my eyelids that I couldn't blink away. Noah scooped up a leech in his hand, and I felt myself sink. Then, nothing.
Mara,
my eyes fluttered open.
It's dead. Unbelievable, he said. You did it.
Noah walked over with his palm open to show me, but I recoiled, scrambled up against the door. He looked at me with an unreadable expression, then went to discard the dead leech. He then lifted the bin to replace it back on the shelf. He stopped.
My God,
he said.
What?
My voice was still nothing but a shaky whisper.
They're all dead.
The leeches? Noah put the bin back on the shelf with an unsteady hand. He walked among the rows of insects, eyes scanning the transparent tubs and opening the others to inspect them. When he reached the spot he started in, he stared at the wall.
Everything, he said. Everything's dead.
Chapter 55. The stench of rot filled my nostrils, and a voice buzzed in my ear. Biologists are reporting that the fish kill in Everglades City was most likely due to oxygen depletion in the water. Images of bloated belly-up alligators appeared in my dark consciousness. A startling number of alligator corpses are thought to be the culprit.
I had done that, just like I'd done this. Noah surveyed the destruction with empty eyes. He couldn't look at me. I couldn't blame him. I wrestled with the doorknob and bolted into the darkness. An assault of screeches and howls and barks met my ears. At least the slaughter was limited. I was disgusted by myself, and when Noah followed me outside, I saw that he was too. He avoided my eyes and said nothing. The sight of his hands, curled into fists of his revulsion, stung my heart and made me cry. Pathetic.
but once I started, I couldn't stop and didn't really want to. The sobs scorched my throat, but it was a good kind of pain, deserved. Noah was still silent. Only when I dropped to the ground, unable to stand for a second longer, did he move. He grabbed my hand and pulled me up, but my legs trembled. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. Noah wrapped his arms around me, but as soon as he did, I just wanted them off. I wanted to run. I struggled against his grip, my thin shoulder blades digging into his chest. Let me go. No. Please, I choked. He loosened his grip by a fraction. Only if you promise not to run. I was out of control and Noah knew it. Afraid I'd do even more damage. He had to make sure I didn't ruin anything else. I promise, I whispered. He turned me to face him. Then he set me free. I couldn't bring myself to look at him, so I focused on the pattern of his plaid shirt, then at the ground. Let's go. We walked wordlessly amid the snarls and shrieks. The animals were all awake now. The antelope had herded together at the edge of their exhibit, stamping and shifting in fear. The birds flapped frantic, and one pelican dove straight into an outcropping of rock as we approached it. It fell to the water and emerged, dragging its broken, limp wing beside it. I wanted to die. The second we reached Noah's car, I lunged for the handle. It was locked. Open it, I said, still not meeting his gaze. Mara, open it! Look at me first. I can't handle that right now, I said through clenched teeth. Just open the door. He did. I folded myself into the passenger seat. Take me home, please. Mara, please! He started the car, and we drove in silence. I stared at my lap the whole way, but as we slowed down, I finally looked out the window. The scenery was familiar, but wrong. When we passed the gated entrance to his house, I shot him a steely glare. What are we doing here? He didn't answer, and I understood. Since my confession, Noah had only been humoring me. He said he believed me, and maybe he did really believe that there was something off, something wrong with me, but he didn't get it. He thought I'd been dreaming when I kissed him and he almost died. That Rachel, Claire, and Jude were killed when an old, decrepit building collapsed on them. That Mabel's owner could have fallen and cracked his skull open. Ms. Morales could have died of shock, and the whole thing might just add up to a series of terrible coincidences. But he couldn't think that now, not after tonight, after what I'd just done. That could not be explained away. That was real, and now Noah was ending it, and I was glad. I would figure out the next step by myself. He parked the car in the garage and opened the passenger door. I didn't move. Mara, get out of the car. Can you do it here? I want to go home. I needed to think. Now that I was completely and utterly alone in this, I couldn't live this way, and I just needed to make a plan. Just, please. I got out of his car, but hesitated by the door. The dogs sensed something wrong with me the last time I was here, and they were right. I didn't want to be anywhere near them. What about Mabel and Ruby? They're crated, on the other side of the house. I exhaled, and followed behind Noah as he entered a corridor and climbed a narrow staircase. He reached to take my hand, but I flinched at his touch. Feeling him would only make this harder for me. Noah kicked the door open, and I found myself in his room. He turned to face me. His expression was quietly furious. I'm sorry, he said. This was it. I had lost him, but was surprised to find that instead of anguish or misery, I just felt numb. It's okay. I don't know what to say. My voice was cold, removed when I spoke. There's nothing to say. Just look at me, Mara. I raised my eyes to his. They were savage. I would have been afraid if I didn't know better. The scariest thing in the room was me. I'm so infinitely, forever sorry, he said. His voice was empty and my chest constricted. He shouldn't feel guilty about this. I didn't blame him. I shook my head. No, don't shake your head, he said. I fucked up egregiously. The word escaped from my throat before I could stop it. What? I never should have let it get that far. My expression morphed into shock. Noah, you didn't do anything. Are you joking? I tortured you. I tortured you. There was a quiet rage in his voice. His muscles were tense and coiled. He looked like he wanted to smash something. I knew the feeling. You did what had to be done. His voice was laced with contempt. I didn't believe you. I had known that. Just tell me this, I said. Were you lying about what you could do? No. So you elected not to do anything? Noah's expression was hard. It was too fast. The sound, or whatever, was different from the last time with Morales.
Morales? I said dully. You heard that?
I heard something. You sounded wrong, but I didn't know why or what it was or what it meant. And with Anna and Aiden, when Jamie got expelled, you were off too. But I didn't know what was happening. I didn't understand it, only that he threatened you, and I wanted to break him for it. This time tonight wasn't the same, and I don't think the alligators were either.
My mouth went dry as Noah confirmed what I'd done. He ran both of his hands over his face and back through his hair.
There was too much going on, too much noise of everything else in the marsh. I didn't know if they'd just disappeared, but I had a feeling something had happened.
He paused, and his face went still.
I'm sorry, he said flatly.
I felt sick listening to him. My throat closed and I couldn't breathe. I needed to get out of there. I made for Noah's door.
Don't, Noah said, crossing the room.
He reached for me, but I shied away. He took my hand anyway and walked me over to his bed. I acquiesced, knowing that this would be our last conversation. And as much as that hurt me, even though I knew it was necessary, I found myself unable to break away just yet. So we sat side by side, but I pulled my hand from his. Noah turned away.
I thought maybe you were just seeing what was about to happen, that you were seeing things sort of like me. I thought you just felt guilty about Rachel.
Just what my mother would say.
I didn't get it, and I pushed you, and then I pushed you further.
He looked at me from underneath those lashes, and his stare pierced the cavity where my heart used to be. He was furious with himself, not me. It was so wrong, so backward.
It wasn't your fault, Noah. He started to speak, but I placed my fingers over his beautiful, perfect mouth, aching at the contact.
This was your first time seeing it, but it wasn't my first time doing it. If I don't... I caught myself before I told him what I thought I had to do, what I did have to do. I can't handle seeing the look on your face the next time it happens, okay?
Noah glared at me.
It was because of me, Mara, because of what I made you do.
You didn't make me kill every living thing in that room. I did that all by myself.
Not everything in that room.
What?
You didn't kill everything in that room.
With the exception of us, I did.
Noah laughed without amusement.
That's it. You could have killed me. I tormented you. And you could have ended it by ending me, but you didn't,
he said, and brushed my hair away from my face. You're stronger than you know.
His hand lingered on my cheek, and I closed my eyes in anguish. I know we don't know how or why this is happening to you, to us, he said. But we will figure it out.
I opened my eyes and stared at him.
It's not your responsibility. I fucking know it's not my responsibility. I want to help you.
I inhaled sharply.
Well, what about tomorrow? Someone's going to wonder what killed hundreds of endangered species.
Don't worry, I'll
fix it. You'll fix it, Noah.
As I spoke the words, I knew that that was exactly what he thought, that despite all rationality, he did think he could fix me, like he could fix everything else.
Is that how you see this working? I'll screw up and you'll take care of it, right?
I was just another problem that could be solved if only we threw enough time or practice or money at it. At me. And when the experiment failed, when I failed and people died, Noah would blame himself. Hate himself for not being able to stop it. For not being able to stop me. I wouldn't do that to him. So I said the only thing I could. I don't want your help. I don't want you. The words felt mutinous on my tongue. And they hit him like a slap in the face.
You're lying, Noah said, his voice low and quiet.
Mine was cold and distant. I think it would be better if I didn't see you again.
I didn't know where the strength to say such a thing came from, but I was grateful for it.
Why are you doing this? Noah said, piercing me with an icy stare. I began to lose my composure.
You're really asking me that question? I murdered 5 people.
By accident.
I wanted it.
God, Mara, you think you're the only person to want bad things to happen to bad people?
No, but I am the only person who gets what she wants, I said. And Rachel, by the way, wasn't a bad person. I loved her, and she did nothing to me, and she's dead anyway, and it's my fault.
Maybe. I whipped around.
What? What did you just say?
You still don't know if the asylum was an accident.
Are we back there again? Really?
Listen to me. Even if it wasn't, I said through clenched teeth. even if it wasn't an accident. Noah continued, I can warn you the next time you get close. My voice went low. Just like you warned me before I killed Morales. That's not fair, and you know it. I didn't know what was happening then. I do now. I'll warn you the next time it happens, and you'll stop. You mean you'll make me stop? No, it's your choice. It's always your choice. But maybe if you lose your focus, I can help bring you back. And what if something happens and you're not there? I asked. I'll be there. But what if you're not? Then it would be my fault.
Exactly.
His expression went carefully blank. I want a boyfriend, not a babysitter, Noah. But let's say I agree to this plan, and you're there but can't stop me. You'll blame yourself. You want that on my conscience, too? Stop being so selfish. Noah's jaw tensed. No. All right, don't, but I'm leaving. I stood to leave but felt Noah's fingers on my thighs. The pressure of his grasp was feather light on my jeans, but I was frozen. I'll follow you, he said. I looked down at him, and his hand stirred hair above his grave face. His lids were half-closed and heavy. Sitting on his bed, he was level with my waist. A thrill traveled along the length of my spine. Get off, I said without conviction. The ghost of a smile touched his mouth. You first. I blinked and stared at him carefully. Well, isn't this a dangerous game? I'm not playing. My nostrils flared. Noah was provoking me, on purpose, to see what I'd do. I wanted at once to smack him, and to rake my fingers through his hair and pull. I won't let you do this, I said. You won't stop me. His voice was low now, indescribably sexy. My eyes fluttered closed. Like hell I won't, I whispered. I could kill you. Then I'd die happy. Not funny, not joking. I opened my eyes and focused on his. I'd be happier without you, I lied as convincingly as I could. Too bad. Noah's mouth curved into the half-smile I loved and hated so much, just inches from my navel. My head was foggy. You're supposed to say, all I want is your happiness. I'll do whatever it takes, even if it means being without you. Sorry, Noah said. I'm just not that big of a person. His hands traveled up the side of my jeans, up to my waist. The pads of his fingertips grazed the skin just underneath the fabric of my shirt. I tried to steady my pulse and failed. You want me, Noah said simply definitively. Don't lie to me, I can hear it. Irrelevant, I breathed. No, it isn't irrelevant. You want me as much as I want you, and all I want is you. My tongue warred with my mind. Today, I whispered. Noah stood slowly, his body skimming mine as he rose. Today, tonight, tomorrow, forever. Noah's eyes held mine. His stare was infinite. I was made for you, Mara. And at that moment, even though I didn't know how it was possible or what it meant, I believed him. And you know it. So tell the truth, do you want me? His voice was strong, confident as he voiced the question that sounded more like a statement. But his face, in the slightest crease and furrow of his brow barely perceptible, it was there. Doubt. Did he really not know? As I tried to comprehend the impossibility of that idea, Noah's confidence began to fray at the edge of his expression. Wright would have been allowing his question to go unanswered, letting Noah believe, impossible though it was, that I didn't want him, that I didn't love him. Then this would all be over. Noah would be the best thing that almost happened to me, but he would be safe. I chose wrong. Chapter 56. I wrapped my arms around Noah's neck and buried myself in him. Yes, I whispered into his hair as he held me. What's that? I could hear the smile in his voice. I want you, I said, smiling back. Then who cares about anything else? Noah's hands on my waist, on my face, felt so familiar, like they belonged there, like they were home. I pulled back to look at him and see if he felt it, but when I did, I shattered into a million pieces. Noah believed in me. I didn't understand until then, right then, how much I needed to see it. I shivered at the lovely scrape of his jaw on my chin. His lips skimmed my collarbone, and when he shifted his lips onto mine, I became senseless. I knotted my fingers in his warm hair and crashed my mouth into his. When I tasted his tongue, the world fell away.
but then the bitter air of the asylum stung my nostrils. Jude's face flickered behind my eyelids, and I pulled away, gasping.
Mara, what's wrong?
I didn't answer him. I didn't know how. We'd come so close to kissing 1,000 times before, but something almost always stopped us. Myself. Noah. The universe. Before now, the only time we succeeded, I was sure, positive, that he almost died. My heart rebelled at the idea, even though I knew I was right. What was happening to me, to him, when we kissed?
What is it?
He asked. I needed to say something, but that's not the kind of thing you can just bust out with.
I don't want you to die, I stammered.
Noah looked appropriately confused.
All right, he said, and pushed back my hair. I won't die.
I looked at the floor, but Noah ducked his head and caught my eyes.
Listen, Mara, there's no pressure.
His hands brushed down my face. This, he said as they trailed down my neck.
You, my arms, are enough.
He laced his fingers into mine and held my stare. I knew he meant it.
Just knowing you're mine?
He released my hand and lifted his to my face, glancing his fingers over my lips.
Knowing that no one else gets to touch you like this, he said.
Seeing the way you look at me when I do. And hearing the way you sound when I do.
A slight uneven smile played on his lips. Just looking at them was not enough.
Seized by boldness and frustration, I grasped Noah's hand and pulled him to his bed. I pushed him until he was sitting and climbed into his lap, ignoring his raised eyebrows as I straddled him.
My hands furiously worked the buttons on his plaid shirt but fumbled. My dexterity had vanished along with my decorum. Noah placed one of his fingers under my chin and tilted my head.
What are you doing?
We can do other things, I breathed, and I slipped his shirt off his shoulders. I wasn't completely sure if that was true, but I was completely sure that at that moment I didn't care. I was desperate to feel his skin against mine. I was desperate to try.
I gripped the hem of my t-shirt and started to pull it up.
Noah reached down and clasped my wrists gently.
You want to sleep with me, but you won't kiss me.
Well, yeah. I opened my mouth to speak, then closed it, because I thought that might not fly.
Noah lifted me off his lap.
No,
he said, and shrugged his shirt back on.
No,
I asked.
No.
I narrowed my eyes at him.
Why not? You've done it before.
Noah looked away. For fun.
I can be fun,
I said quietly.
I know.
Noah's expression leveled me.
You don't trust me,
I said quietly.
Noah measured his words before he spoke.
You don't trust yourself, Mara.
I am not going to die if you kiss me. I told you that already, but you still think I'm going to, so no.
You're kidding me, I said, incredulous. Noah Shaw, was slamming on the brakes.
Does this look like my kidding face?
Noah composed his expression into one of mock seriousness. I ignored it and stood up.
You don't want me.
Noah threw his head back and laughed, rich and loose. A blush crept up into my cheeks. I wanted to punch him in the throat.
You have no idea what you do to me, he said as he stood.
I could barely keep my hands off you last night, even after seeing what you'd been through this week, even after knowing how wrecked you were when you told me.
And I'm going to spend an eternity in hell for that dream I had about you on your birthday. But if I could call it up again, I'd spend it twice.
He took my hand and turned it over in his, studying it.
Mara, I have never felt about anyone the way I feel about you. And when you're ready for me to show you, he said, brushing my hair to the side, I'm going to kiss you.
His thumb grazed my ear, and his hand curved around my neck. He leaned me backward, and my eyes fluttered closed. I breathed in the scent of him as he leaned in and kissed the hollow under my ear. My pulse raced under his lips.
And I won't settle for anything less.
Noah pulled away and drew me up with him. I was disoriented, but not enough to ignore the cocky grin he was wearing.
I hate you,
I muttered. Noah smiled wider.
I know.
Chapter 57. I couldn't go to school the next day either. That much was obvious. Who knew what triggered the deaths? Was a stray thought enough? Or did I have to envision it? And what about the animals that died, even though I never explicitly wanted them to? What about Rachel? I need to rebuild my world and figure out my place in it before I would be safe around the general population. I told my mother that I wanted to stay home, that going back to school yesterday was a little too much for me, and I wanted to wait until after my appointment with Dr. Millard today to try it again.
Given my recent behavior, she was happy to oblige. I made it to lunch without incident. But as I stood in the kitchen midway through making myself a sandwich, someone started pounding on the front door. I froze. They didn't go away. I crept soundlessly to the foyer and looked through the peephole. I let out a sigh of relief. Noah stood on my front step, disheveled and furious.
"Get in the car," he said. "There's something you need to see."
"What? What are you?"
"It's about your father's case. We need to make it to the courthouse before the trial's over.
I'll explain, but come." My mind raced to catch up, but I followed Noah without hesitating, locking the door behind me. He didn't stand on ceremony, and I flung open the passenger door and dove in. Noah backed out of the driveway in seconds, then reached into the back seat and withdrew a newspaper. He dropped the Miami Herald in my lap as he wove between lanes, ignoring the irritated honking that followed. I read the headline. Crime scene photos leaked on final day of Palmer trial. I scanned the photos. A few of the crime scene, and one of Leon Lassiter, my father's client. Then I skimmed the article. It gave a detailed overview of the case, but I was missing something.
"I don't understand," I said, focusing on Noah's clenched jaw and angry stare.
"Did you look at the photos carefully?" My eyes roamed the pictures, disturbing though they were. Two of them showed Jordana Palmer's dismembered body lying piecemeal in the tall grass, with chunks of flesh ripped from her calves, her arms, her torso. The third was a landscape taken from the distance, with markers showing the position and location where the body was found. The little concrete shed, where Noah and I had found Joseph, was cast in a penumbral shadow by the flash. My hand fluttered to my mouth. "Oh, my God!" "I saw it when I went to go buy cigarettes during lunch. I tried to call, but there was no answer at the house, and of course you still don't have a mobile. So I drove straight here from school," he said in a rush. "It's the same shed, Mara, exactly the same." I remembered Joseph lying on the concrete floor in a nest of blankets, his hands and feet bound by twist ties, and how Noah and I were almost too late to save him. To save him from ending up exactly like Jordana. My stomach rolled with nausea.
"What does this mean?"
I asked, even though I already knew. Noah ran his hands through his hair as he sped, pushing 95.
"I don't know. The photograph they have of Lassiter shows him wearing a Rolex on his right hand. When I saw the documents in the Collier County archives in my mind, whoever was pulling the files had the same watch," he finished before swallowing. "But I'm not sure."
"He took Joseph," I said, my voice and mind hazy.
Noah's expression was hard. "It doesn't make sense, though. Why would he go after his own lawyer's child?"
My mind flooded with images. Joseph, the way he must have looked when he was waiting for a ride home from school the day he was taken. My parents, as they spoke in tense voices about my father dropping the case. My father speaking to Lassiter. The same night. "My father was going to drop his case," I said, strangely removed, "because of me. Because I was falling apart. He spoke to him that afternoon."
"Still doesn't make sense. Your father would have dropped it for sure if one of his children disappeared. The judge absolutely would have ordered a continuance."
"Then he took him because he's sick," I said, my voice a twisted hiss. My mind raced, tumbling ahead before my mouth could catch up. I flashed back to before I knew about the case, before this had all happened, to my brother watching the news one afternoon, as Daniel lifted an unmarked envelope.
"Where did this come from?" Daniel asked.
"Dad's new client dropped it off, like, 2 seconds before you got here."
"Lassiter knew Joseph, knew where he lived."
"I'll kill him." I spoke the shocking words so softly I wasn't even sure I'd said them aloud. I wasn't even sure I'd thought them until Noah's eyes turned on me.
"No," he said carefully. "We're going to go to the courthouse and find your father and have the trial continued. We'll tell him what happened. He'll withdraw from the case."
"It's too late," I said. The words congealed on my tongue, and the weight of them pulled me down. "The trial's over today. Once the jury's out, it's over."
Noah shook his head. "I called. They're not out yet. We can make it," he said, his gaze flicking to the clock on the dashboard. I turned the paper over in my hand, examining it as my dark thoughts grew and spread and swallowed up any possible alternative. Whoever leaked these photos did it to influence the jury. They did it because my father, because Lassiter, is winning. He's going to be acquitted. He's going to be free. I couldn't let it happen. But would I really be able to stop it? I had wanted Jude dead, and he was. And I'd killed Morales and Mabel's owner just by wanting it, thinking about it,
about her choking, his head smashed in. I grew nauseous at the imagery, but swallowed hard and forced myself to remember, to try to understand so that if I needed to, I could do it again. The collapsed building, the anaphylactic shock, the head injury, those were the causes of the deaths. I was the agent. Noah's voice snapped me back into the moment. There is something profoundly wrong here. I know it, which is why I came to get you. But we don't have a fucking clue what's going on. We have to get to the courthouse and speak to your father.
Well, then what? I asked, my voice hollow.
Then we'll give statements about Joseph's kidnapping and Lassiter will be indicted for it. And he'll be out on bail again, just like this time. And what evidence can we give? I said, my voice rising. I hadn't meant to say, to think, my earlier words, but a crazed enthusiasm was taking over. Adrenaline flowed through my veins. Joseph doesn't remember a thing except for the lies we told him. And I'm on antipsychotics, I said, my voice growing steadier and steadier. No one's going to believe us. Noah switched tactics, no doubt because I was right. In a low voice he said, I brought you because I trusted you. You don't want to do this. As Noah asserted his knowledge of what I wanted, my mind rebelled. Why not? I've killed people for less than murdering and butchering a teenage girl and kidnapping my baby brother. I grew incomprehensibly giddy. And last week, that was you at peace with it then? Noah's words stopped me in my tracks, but then... Maybe I'm a sociopath, but I don't feel sorry about Mabel's owner, at all.
I wouldn't either, Noah admitted. The muscles worked in his jaw.
Jude deserved it, too, you know. I tilted my head at him. Did he? You say that because he almost hurt me.
He did hurt you, Noah said, suddenly fierce.
Just because it could have been worse doesn't mean he didn't hurt you. He didn't rape me, Noah. He hit me. He kissed me. I killed him for that.
Noah's eyes darkened. Good riddance.
I shook my head. You think that's fair?
Noah said nothing, his eyes 1,000 miles away.
Well, the way you feel about him is the way I feel about Lassiter.
No, he said, as he turned off the highway onto a bustling street. I could see the courthouse in the distance. There's a difference. With Jude, you were alone and terrified, and your mind reacted without you even knowing it. With him, it was in self-defense. With Lassiter, it would be an execution.
The air swallowed his words as he let that sink in. Then he said, There are other ways to solve that problem, Mara.
Noah swung into the shaded parking lot next to the courthouse and cut the engine. We flew out of the car, my mind turning over his words as we ran up the courthouse steps. There were other ways to solve the problem, Noah had said, but I knew they wouldn't work. Chapter 58.
I was breathless by the time we reached the wide glass front doors. After Noah went through the metal detector, I emptied my pockets into the little plastic bin and held out my arms so the security guard could wand me. I bounced a little on the balls of my feet, beyond anxious. Our footsteps echoed down the enormous hall, mine following Noah's, and I swung my head in both directions, checking the room numbers as I went. Noah stopped at room 213. I wiped the sweat from my face with my sleeve. Now what? Noah walked over to a hallway and made the first left. I hovered in the background as he spoke to a young guy sitting at the front desk. I couldn't hear what he was saying, but I examined his face. It told me nothing. When he was done, he returned to my side and began walking in the direction we came in. He didn't say a word until we were outside, back on the courthouse steps. What happened? I asked him. The jury's been out for 2 hours. My feet turned to stone. I couldn't move. It's not too late, Noah said, his voice quiet. They may come back with a conviction.
Hell, Florida's a death penalty state. You might get lucky.
I bristled at Noah's tone. He went after my brother, Noah. My family. Noah placed his hands on my shoulders and forced me to look at him.
I will protect him, Noah said.
I tried to turn away.
Look at me, Mara. I will find a way.
I wanted to believe him. His confidence was unshakable, and it was tempting. But Noah was always sure, and he was sometimes wrong. In this case, I couldn't afford it.
You can't protect him, Noah. This is not something you can fix.
Noah opened his mouth to speak, but I cut him off.
I've been so lost since Rachel died. I've tried to do the right things. With Mabel, Morales, I did everything the right way, calling animal control, telling the principal, but nothing worked until I did it my way, I said, and my own words sparked something inside me. Because everything that's happened,
It's been about me from the beginning, understanding who I am and what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. It's what I have to do. Noah looked down directly into my eyes. No, Mara. I want to know why this is happening to us too, but this isn't going to help. I looked at Noah, incredulous. It doesn't matter for you. Can't you see that? So you get headaches and you see hurt people. What happens if you never figure it out? Nothing, I said, and my voice cracked. Noah's eyes went flat. Do you know what it means that we were able to help Joseph? I didn't speak.
It means the two others I saw were real.
It means I didn't help them and they died. I swallowed and tried to compose myself. It's not the same thing. No, why not? Because now you know. Now you have a choice. I don't. Unless I can channel it, use it maybe for a purpose, things will keep getting worse. I make everything worse. A tear rolled down my burning cheek. I closed my eyes and felt Noah's fingers on my skin.
You make me better.
My chest cracked open at his words. I stared into Noah's perfect face and tried to see what he saw. I tried to see us, not individually, not the arrogant, beautiful, reckless, lost boy and the angry, broken girl, but what we were, who we were, together. I tried to remember holding his hand at my kitchen table and feeling for the first time since I'd left Rhode Island that I wasn't alone in this, that I belonged. Noah spoke again, cutting my thoughts short. After you remembered, I saw what it did to you. It won't compare to knowing you did it on purpose. Noah closed his eyes, and when he opened them, his expression was haunted.
You're the only one who knows, Mara. The only person who knows me. I don't want to lose you.
Maybe you won't, I said, but I was already gone. And when I looked at him, I saw that he knew it. He reached for me anyway, one hand curving behind my neck, the other skimming my face. He would kiss me right now after everything I'd done. I was poison, and Noah was the drug that would make me forget it.
So of course I couldn't let him.
He saw it in my eyes, or maybe heard it in my heart, and dropped his hands from my body as he shifted back.
I thought you only wanted to be normal.
I looked at the marble steps beneath my feet. I was wrong, I said, trying not to let my voice crack. I have to be more than that, for Joseph. And for Rachel. And for Noah, too, though I didn't say it, couldn't say it.
If you do this, he said slowly, you'll become someone else.
I looked up at Noah. I already am someone else. And when he met my eyes, I knew that he saw it. In seconds, he broke our stare and shook his head. No, he said to himself. Then, no, you're not. You're the girl who called me an asshole the first time we spoke. The girl who tried to pay for lunch, even after you learned I had more money than God.
You're the girl who risked her ass to save a dying dog, who makes my chest ache, whether you're wearing green silk or ripped jeans. You're the girl that I...
Noah stopped, then took a step closer to me.
You are my girl,
he said simply, because it was true.
But if you do this, you'll be someone else.
I struggled for air as my heart broke, knowing that it wouldn't change what I had to do.
I know you, Mara. I know everything, and I don't care.
I wanted to cry when he said it out loud. I wish that I could. But there were no tears. My voice was unexpectedly hard when I spoke.
Maybe not today, but you will.
Noah held my hand. The simplicity of the gesture moved me so much that I started to doubt.
No, Noah said. You made me real, and I will hurt for you, and because of you, and be grateful for the pain. But this is forever. Don't do this.
I sat down on the steps, my legs too shaky to keep me upright. If he's found guilty, I won't. But if he's acquitted, I have to, I said, my voice breaking. If he went free, he might go after my brother again, and I was the agent. I could stop it. I was the only one who could.
I don't have a choice.
Noah sat down next to me, his expression grim.
You always have a choice.
We said nothing for what seemed like hours. I sat on the unforgiving stone, and the unnatural coolness of it penetrated my jeans. I turned the night of the collapse over and over again in my mind, until the thoughts and images whirled like a cyclone. Like a cyclone, Rachel and Claire were caught up in my fury, which was too explosive, too wild to have any focus. but that was not the case today. When the doors clicked open behind us, we were up in an instant as a throng of people flooded the courthouse steps. Reporters with microphones, cameras, flashbulbs, and cameramen shining their painful lights in my father's direction. He was in front. Lassiter was behind him, beaming, triumphant. Cool anger coursed through my veins as I watched him approach, followed by police. With guns in their holsters, and in an instant, I knew. I knew how to keep everyone else here safe while I punished Lassiter for what he tried to do, before he could hurt anyone else. My father made his way to a podium, so close to where we stood, but I shifted out of his way, out of his field of vision. Noah held my hand, squeezed it, and I didn't pull away. It didn't matter. Microphones jabbed at my father's face, vying for dominance, but he took it all in stride. "I have a lot to say today, as I'm sure you can all guess," my father said, and there was a murmur of laughter. "But the real winners here are my client, Leon Lassiter, and the people of Florida. Since I can't hand over a microphone to the people of Florida, I'm going to let Leon say a few words." I saw the gun. The matte black metal was so plain and unremarkable. The metal was dull on my fingertips. The grooves of the grip dimpled my palm. It almost looked like a toy. My father stepped out of the way, moving his head to the right, and Leon Lassiter's took its place. I was right behind him. It was strange the way it felt, the weight unfamiliar and somehow dangerous. I looked down the muzzle, just a hole. "Thank you, Marcus," Lassiter smiled and clapped my father on the shoulder. "I am a man of few words, but I wanted to say two things. First, that I am grateful, so grateful, for my lawyer, Marcus Dyer." I pointed the gun. "He took time away from his life, his wife, his children, to get justice for me. And I am not sure I'd be standing here right now if it wasn't for him." Blackness seeped into my field of vision. I felt arms holding me, felt the brush of lips by my earlobe, but I heard nothing. "Second, I want to tell the parents of Jordana." And then the oddest thing. Before another thought appeared against the backdrop of my mind, someone began popping popcorn right there at the courthouse. Pop, 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 pop. The sound was so loud that my eardrums tickled, then rang. Only then did I hear the screaming. Moments later, I could see again, and there were bowed heads, ducked and tucked under hands and knees. The hand holding mine was gone. "Put the gun down!" someone shouted. "Put it down now!" I was still standing. I looked straight ahead, straight in front of me, and saw a pale arm extended in my direction, holding a gun. It clattered to the steps. A wave of screams erupted with the bounce. I didn't recognize the woman standing in front of me. She was older, her face splotchy and red, with streaks of mascara trailing down her skin. Her finger pointed at me like an accusation. I heard the voice of Rachel in my mind, the voice of my best friend. "How am I going to die?" "He killed her," the woman said calmly. "He killed my baby." Officers surrounded the woman and gently, reverently placed her hands behind her back. "Cheryl Palmer, you have the right to remain silent." The piece semicircled the board, sailing past A, through K, and crept past L. It settled on M. "Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law." Landed on A. The sound died away, and the pressure lifted from my hand. I looked beside me, but Noah wasn't there. Zigzagged across the board, cutting Rachel's laughter short, R. Panic overcame me, threatened to pull me under as I searched for him with feral eyes. There was a flurry of activity to my right, a swarm of EMTs buzzing around the leaking body on the courthouse steps. Then back to the beginning, to A. Noah knelt beside it. My knees almost buckled to see him alive, not shot. Relief flooded me, and I took another step just to be closer to him. But then I glimpsed the body lying on the ground. It was not Leon Lassiter. It was my father. Chapter 59. A machine beeped to the left of my father's hospital bed, as another on his right hissed. He'd been joking an hour ago, but the pain medication had put him back to sleep. My mother, Daniel, Joseph, and Noah were all huddled around the bed. I hung back. There was no room for me. I had never been there to witness it before, that exquisite moment when my thoughts became action. Just yesterday, I surveyed